You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Come on, people. Let's do this thing.
I feel like I'm losing my mind.
Ryan Clark said he's like a Maserati. He's like a Ferrari.
You do realize that Ryan Clark is from Louisiana.
Oh, I'm not real familiar with Baton Rouge.
You can take the girl out of Brooklyn, but I don't know about the rest of it.
Boop, and let's just restart.
He was hurt because he was getting sacked. Almost choked. There's nothing I love more than an exasperated Ryan Clark. January of 1996, where was Harry Douglas?
Man, Harry was a hoop star, baby. I was Euro stepping, doing my little thing, gritty behind the back.
Yeah, me too.
Look at leg.
They put his face on my body there. Let's just go back to Graziano's face for a moment. Look at TV's face. It's been this kind of day here. Joey Chestnut
ate
39 pierogies in 2 minutes. If there was ever such a competition I was going to get involved with, it might have involved Grey Goose.
And I just want to know if there's going to be a keg at the press conference.
Dan Graziano is genuinely great at these. Dan Orlovsky, with all due respect, is terrible at them.
Unitas.
That's correct.
Welcome, it is.
I don't think you get it if it's not for Orlovsky. Those are just words I never thought I'd hear myself speak. We'll have a little sneaky himbo for you and coming up here in about 10 minutes or so, but Orlovsky did get the assist.
Absolutely. I wasn't thinking Unitas.
And with that.
Oh, is that right?
I know. No, it was baffling.
Wow.
Like, it was a, you know.
I'm shocked by that.
Yeah.
Top clock situation, I think.
Yeah, back in the day, he phoned a friend and Orlovsky jumped in and got it right.
Mm.
He was normally the last person you would call if you needed that sort of assistance. He got it right. We're live at the Seaport. We're brought to you by Grey Goose. We're jam packed on this Football Friday, but we have to begin with the play of the year from the NBA with his team up by two. Anthony Edwards, watch this.
The rebound of the Pacers. They don't call a timeout. Halliburton, the hit ahead. Neesmith with it. Dribbles in. Shot blocked. Oh, my goodness. What a rejection by Anthony Edwards to save the game. 113-111. Wolves win. Wolves win. Anthony Edwards got up for the most ridiculous block you will ever see. That was awesome.
I mean, D-Wood, at the risk of hyperbole, is that as spectacular a play as you have ever seen in your entire sports watching life?
Yes. Yes, it is. Like, we could have literally done a two-hour get-up just off of this highlight.
A 30 for 30 on that play. What if I told you Anthony Edwards hit his head on the bottom of the rim? Again, there's 1 second left in a game that his team is up by two.
Greeny, did he get hurt after this? Because, I mean, he came tumbling down. Like, your body hits the backboard, and then he just.
No, he was actually hurt earlier in the game, too. He came back in and did this.
He did.
Wow.
He left earlier with a bit of an ankle, and he came back,
How
and
high
then he
can
did
he
that.
Jump with
That's
two good
crazy.
It's the craziest play you've ever seen. It is
like
as good.
After, like, you show him after, and it's like one of these moments where, like, these ludicrously talented people are still like, I can't believe I just did that.
Right.
Like, that was amazing.
Spectacular. Yeah. So we had that as the play of the night in the NBA. Then we had the game of the night in the NBA, which could very easily wind up being a preview of the NBA Finals. In fact, ESPN Bet thinks it is going to be Celtics and Nuggets. The MVP candidates are there. It's Jokic, it's Tatum. One of them had a big night, and Tatum did not. Here's Jokic backing Tatum down. Jokic, that assist gave him his 20th triple-double of the year. Denver up 11. Then, you want spectacular? Watch.
Jokic and Porzingis, he spins off him. Miss it. Oh! Aaron Gordon! The follow jam!
Ah! D-Wood, come on.
Damn, I wish I could do that.
Unbelievable. Now let's get you to winning time. This is a good game. 6-point game. And then here comes Drew Holiday. He is so clutch. Knocks down a transition three there. And then you're going to see him. He'll make a step back three from the corner here that puts Boston within 2 points of a game that they had trailed pretty much the whole night. And then here's your ball game. Nuggets, they have possession under a minute left. It's a 2-point Denver lead. We got a turnover. Here is a wide open Jason Tatum for three in the lead.
Oh!
He was 5 of 13 for the ball game last night. And then here comes the dagger from Denver. Joker, Gordon, that's ball game. Joker had 32, 12 rebounds, 11 assists. Nuggets win. Coach Malone, talk to me.
Oh, yeah. No, it was a another playoff atmosphere for sure. As we talk pregame, you know, you got to give the Celtic fans credit. You know, they always come out strong. You know, but you know what we say, right? They can take that L on the way out, baby.
Trash talk from the coach is always a delight. Again, as I mentioned, ESPN Bet says we should expect to see these two teams as the last two standing. The Celtics are an odds-on favorite to win the Eastern Conference. Denver is the favorite to win the West. Now to all the trappings of a Football Friday, including Overreaction Friday with Graziano. I'll say something, and you tell me if that something is an overreaction. So first, if I said Kirk Cousins would make Atlanta the biggest threat to San Francisco in the NFC, is that an overreaction?
Oh, yes, of course that's an overreaction. I think Atlanta has a chance to be a good team if they make that signing. Obviously, a lot of good pieces. But look, I mean, they just replaced their coach. Like, obviously, they're not starting from a wonderful starting point here. No, the biggest threats to the Niners in the NFC are the Lions, and I think the Rams in their division, and the up-and-coming Packers. I think Atlanta has a ways to go to get into that group.
I hear you. I think you're selling a little short what they have there with the right mix. I like Atlanta a lot. Plus, I think the division is so winnable. They could win a lot of games. I think the Falcons could be a very interesting team to watch. We'll see. That said, it's probably an overreaction. Is this, if I said Justin Fields is going to wind up being a backup next year, is that an overreaction?
I still think it's an overreaction. I still think he ends up, so look, whatever he is or isn't, he was one of the top 32 quarterbacks in the league this past year. Like, he should be starting for someone. I think it's just a matter of finding the fit. It is going to have to be a place that knows that he needs still some more coaching, more development. We've talked about this, just 25 years old as of this week. But I think he's talented enough and he's shown enough in the league that someone will bring him in and he'll end up starting games next year.
I hope so. I'm starting to get more and more worried about this. Today's the one-year anniversary of the day Chicago made the trade that kept him there for one more season. All right, finally, if I said Mike Tomlin can resurrect Russell Wilson's career, is that an overreaction?
I think it's an overreaction. Look, I think we asked the same thing about Sean Payton a year ago, and Sean Payton's history with quarterback, you know, you would think that he would have been the answer, and he didn't, right? I mean, they managed to put something together that was safe and harmless and not very exciting as an offense, and then he still was sick of Russell Wilson and he benched him at the end of the year. So no, I think Russell Wilson can probably resurrect Russell Wilson's career to some extent, but I don't think it's going to be situation specific. I think he's going to have to be able to do things we haven't seen him do the last
year. Well, we specifically ask about Pittsburgh. D-Wood, come on in here, big fella. And Harry Douglas, I'll start with you. We asked specifically about the Steelers because there are reports out of Pittsburgh that say that the Steelers are interested in Wilson and that his interest is mutual, but it's still very preliminary in all of that. But let me just bounce that off you, Harry. In a world in which the Steelers quarterback situation next year is Kenny Pickett and Russell Wilson, is that a team that can contend for a Super Bowl in the AFC?
Contend for a Super Bowl? No, it's not. Not with those two guys at the quarterback position. But I will say this. I think having Russell Wilson at the quarterback position over Kenny Pickett is a minor upgrade, because when you look at just 2023 in that entire season, Russell Wilson played better than Kenny Pickett. There were multiple occasions where I watched film and I just didn't understand what Kenny Pickett was trying to go with the football based on the coverage that was being displayed. When you look at Russell Wilson, I think he's a guy that can still play the game of football. Now, I'm not going to say he's the Russell Wilson that we've seen early on or the middle of his career when he was in Seattle. But whenever you're able to throw for 3,000 yards and you can complete 66% of your passes and have 26 touchdowns to 8 interceptions, and you missed two games because your coach wanted to bench you because you didn't want to alter your injury clause in your contract, then I would take that quarterback if I'm the Pittsburgh Steelers.
What do you think, D-Wood? I mean, what the Kenny Pickett, Russell Wilson, Steelers, a team that you're competing with Burrow, you're competing with Lamar, you're competing in a conference that has Mahomes and Allen and all those guys. Is that enough?
Doesn't move the needle at all. It really doesn't. I mean, let's just be honest. Look at all the quarterbacks. Not only within their own division, you got a two-time league MVP, you got a guy in Joe Burrow who's been to a Super Bowl, who's one of our best quarterbacks that we have in our league. Are you going to sit here and tell me that Kenny Pickett and Russell Wilson would really compete with those guys? Like, come on. Like we got to stop kidding ourselves here. And listen, as far as Kenny Pickett is concerned, I think the Pittsburgh Steelers look at that situation more that Matt Canada was the problem.
Yeah.
More so than Kenny Pickett. That's why they brought in Arthur Smith, made the change to offensive coordinator. Because they're going to give Kenny Pickett every opportunity to basically prove them wrong, that it was a failed pick. That's just the way the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to look at this whole thing.
Harry Douglas was making the case for the Steelers to sign Russell Wilson, and he used the words minor upgrade.
Right.
Like, I mean, can you imagine like being like working for the Steelers marketing department? Like, oh, what do you think about the slogan for this year?
Yeah.
Minor upgrade. Like, that's the whole, like, Russell Wilson might be fine. Like, he might be somebody's star. They might be good. But he had the last 2 years, like, he's got to overcome that. Like,
yes.
He has not played well. And it's at a point in his career where it's reasonable to ask the question, hey, is it going to come back? And he's got to show that it does.
The 2024 Pittsburgh Steelers, we are infinitesimally better. And in a place where you can't be. Now, look.
Right.
So is there an answer? Is there a much better alternative? Because I keep saying Justin Fields, and they keep not doing it. So maybe the world disagrees with me. Maybe he isn't much better. Is there someone much better? Should they be going after Kirk Cousins? Would that make them a Super Bowl contender? Would Baker Mayfield make them a Super Bowl contender? Is there someone out there who would?
I mean, listen, of all the options out there, Kirk Cousins is the best option because he's the best quarterback. But the Pittsburgh Steelers are not going to commit the type of money that Kirk Cousins is going to demand in free agency. Yep. And plus, it just doesn't seem like
it's
something that the Steelers would do. That's just not what they would do as an organization.
I know.
No, it's not. And look, they have something invested in Kenny Pickett, a first-round pick. They feel like, you know, maybe we do have to give him a chance with a different offensive coordinator to see if he could be the player we thought we were drafting in the first round. And, yeah, you're right. It's absolutely not their way. But also, you know, it's been a long time, right? They had Roethlisberger for forever. They won and won and won. Like, this is a different kind of situation they find themselves in. If Pickett isn't the guy, then they're in trouble.
Well, they've sort of adapted that, or it has changed. They used to be the franchise that won. Now they're the franchise that doesn't lose.
Yeah.
And those are two different things.
They're like the seventh seed was like made for them.
That's exactly right. and look, that's better than being three and four. Yeah, go ahead, Harry.
Yeah, I think that's when you're reviewing the Pittsburgh Steelers organization, you got to get comfortable with being uncomfortable now. You can't just continuously over and over again just do something because that's not the way you do things. I think it's not fair to players like T.J. Watt, who are going out there every single game and giving his all and being phenomenal. Cam Hayward, who's been with that organization for a very, very long time. At some point, you got to exhaust all possibilities that give you the best chance to contend for a Super Bowl. You can't just say, hey, we're going to continue to do things the way we normally do it if the things you normally do don't lead you to a Super Bowl or even contending for one or AFC championship game.
Yeah, it's been a long time. All right, we will wait and see. Meanwhile, I keep pointing it out. Today is the anniversary of the day that the Justin Fields wasn't traded from Chicago last year. It was a year ago today. The Bears traded the first pick in the draft. So is this the day they make another franchise-altering deal? We've got a very close eye on that situation. Plus, Saquon, not the only top running back who's available. How about Derrick Henry? There are other names out there. Where will the big backs wind up spending next season? We'll get to all of those, but first we'll get to this. All right, here we go. Sneaky Hemba. Of all the players drafted first or second overall, we're talking about Saquon Barkley, right? He was the second pick in the draft. Of all players who were drafted first or second, I wouldn't have said his name if it wasn't.
Right. Yeah.
Who's the all-time leading rusher of guys who are either the first or second pick in the draft? The answer is next. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
All right, we're back. There was a time when running backs went one or two in the NFL draft all the time. Doesn't happen much anymore. Saquon Barkley, of course, an exception. So the question here, Graziano, who's the leading rusher of all the players who were either drafted number one or number two overall?
So you do have to go back a little bit because it doesn't happen as much anymore. And the guys that have broken this record recently were not taken that high. And we were tossing around some good names, right? Somebody said O.J. Simpson. Somebody, I mean, Tony Dorsett, I know, is in this mix and may be the answer. But my guess is going to be Eric Dickerson, who was the second pick overall.
That's right. It's Eric Dickerson. That's correct. That is correct. And look how close they
Tony
are.
Tony Dorsett was second.
Eric Dickerson is first. Tony Dorsett.
Marshall Faulk, I didn't think of.
Marshall Faulk right behind him, and then OJ is fourth.
How about that?
That is
take that L on the
wow.
He really is. He is the very best. He continues to lead Hembo, and the exasperation on the face of Pineapple.
What is the score? Hembo is this? There.
What is the score? That's a great question.
Yeah, the graphic isn't working.
Oh, the graphic isn't working. Okay.
I think it's 15-5. If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, whatever.
In favor of Graziano. All right. With that said, it is a loaded class of free agent running backs this year. The position has been so devalued that they're all available. So let's go through some of the best fits. D. Wood, what would be the perfect fit for Derrick Henry?
I'm going to go with the Cowboys. I agree with what Lewis, you know, Lewis Riddick had talked about. The Dallas Cowboys need an attitude at the running back spot. That was something that was sorely missed with the Cowboys, especially when you get down towards the end zone. I think that attitude is another much-needed dimension to this Cowboys offense.
Yeah, we wanted them to make a move for him before the trade deadline last year. It didn't happen. Graziano, how about Josh Jacobs? What's a fit for him?
Baltimore Ravens. Look, do you know this guy is only 26 years old? Mm. He has less wear on his tires than Saquon Barkley. Like, this is a guy I would be looking at, especially if you're going to be able to get him for a discounted rate. Like, if he's not going to make as much as Saquon Barkley, I would take a long look. He led the league in rushing 2 years ago, and then last year, obviously he didn't, but last year, what did the Raiders have at quarterback? I think people were kind of geared up to stop Josh Jacobs. I think he's going to help somebody.
All right, and then the aforementioned Saquon Barkley. Harry, what's the best fit for him?
I'm going to go with the Houston Texans down there with C.J. Stroud. We've seen this young team be phenomenal last year and be able to make the playoffs in their first year. With a rookie head coach, rookie play caller, and also a rookie quarterback. But you look at how he would be unlocked in a Bobby Slowick offensive system who came from the San Francisco 49ers. So the same way we see Christian McCaffrey being used in San Fran is the same way we'll be seeing Saquon Barkley be utilized with the Houston Texans. You talk about being matched up with linebackers coming out of the backfield, running H choice where you have a two-way go, running down the sideline on rail routes, being able to, you know, line up in the slot and run shallow routes across the field, five-yard unders. So I really like Saquon Barkley to the Houston Texans.
Listen, and you just made an outstanding point. Let's put the team aside for a minute, and let's bring it out to the group here, because I've been talking about Saquon like he could be the Christian McCaffrey for some contender all week long, and I don't think that's overstating it. The numbers, I just pulled them up here, the numbers Saquon Barkley has put up in recent years on terrible teams.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking about just awful offenses. 2 years ago, when he got Daniel Jones paid $90 million guaranteed dollars, it is because Saquon Barkley ran for 1,300 yards and had 57 receptions and was just a dominating last year on what was maybe the worst offense in the league, in which Tommy DeVito became a folk hero.
Remember that?
He still managed to run for 962 yards and catch 41 passes. I think Saquon Barkley, on a really good team with a really good quarterback for a change, could be that team's McCaffrey.
Love it for Houston. I mean, look, so go back a couple years to the Bengals. Bengals were never a free agent team. And then they get Joe Burrow, and they start hitting free agency hard. Because why? We have the rookie quarterback. We have him on the rookie deal. Let's build around him.
Right.
Let's get good as fast as possible, because we don't know how long this is going to last. Houston is in the exact same situation.
Yep.
Even better. They were a playoff team his first year with C.J. Stroud. So if there's a team out there that can afford to splurge on a running back, and the parallels, if it's McCaffrey, right? When McCaffrey went to San Francisco, he'd been heavily used. He was injury-prone early in his career. I mean, all these things can be said about Saquon. It'd be a great story.
And Bobby Slowick, the offensive coordinator, where did he come from? San Francisco.
Right.
They've run the same type of offense. So imagine how he would be able to utilize Saquon Barkley in that offense down in Houston.
So I understand that people will say, oh, well, look, you can get almost the same production from a player you draft in the fourth round and all that.
Yeah.
There are a few players who are different. Christian McCaffrey is different. You're not going to get that kind of production from a player that you draft in the fourth round. He took that 49er offense from being good and sort of carried by their defense to being unstoppable. And I think Saquon Barkley could do that for someone. If it's Houston, so be it. I think there are a lot of teams, a lot of contenders that should consider him. And then the other one is Derrick Henry. We keep talking about him to Dallas. Cindy, can we show the picture of him with Graziano?
I just
for those who want to get a sense of just how big.
Most of my Instagram feed is me talking to much larger people. But running back, usually I got a chance to at least not look ridiculous. But this guy is.
That's a great tie you have on, by the way.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
I do like the tie.
Yeah.
That is. It should also be pointed out once again, that is a running back.
Right.
That Dan is talking to. He looks like a defensive end.
Yeah.
And again, you played with him, Harry. Can you describe what it is like having Derrick Henry on an offense?
I'll tell you this, man. Early on in his career, when I was in Tennessee, we had DeMarco Murray and Derrick Henry.
Ooh.
Now, I remember in 2017, we played the Kansas City Chiefs at Kansas City. That was Alex Smith's last year. And we basically leaned on Derrick Henry, and he took us to the promised land. We went down big in that game. But you talk about someone who's all business. He's a leader. He's a guy that, you know, you can count on. He's durable. You look at four of the last 5 years of his career, he's been either first or second in rushing in the National Football League. In the 1 year that he wasn't, he was ninth, only playing 8 games in that season in 2021 and still rushing for over 900 yards and 10 touchdowns. So I love Derrick Henry on a lot of teams. I could see him with the Los Angeles Chargers, Dallas Cowboys, Baltimore Ravens. I could see him in Houston as well, because we got to remember he also played for head coach Matt LaFleur when he was the offensive coordinator in Tennessee. He played for Arthur Smith when he was the offensive coordinator in Tennessee. So this Shanahan offense, he is accustomed to, because he's been in that system as well. So Derrick Henry fits a lot of places in the National Football League. And I throw another one out there. You look at a team like Cincinnati. If they want to move on from a Joe Mixon, can you imagine a Derrick Henry in an offense with Joe Burrow? And now a defense has to stack the box and you got Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins on the outside?
What does the market look like for these guys? For the top level running, whoever, if it's Josh Jacobs, if it's Saquon, what is going to become of them?
I mean, look, they'll sign, right? But are they going to get the deals they were imagining when they were, you know, free agent eligible and franchised last year? Probably not. I think coming out of Indy, I got indications that maybe Saquon would do the best of the group, that maybe he might have a chance to be the guy that makes something in the, what, $10, $11, $12 million a year range, if any of them were going to do that. Derrick Henry, different, like he's 30 years old, right? But to Harry's point, special. If you can finish ninth in rushing in 8 games, I mean,
pretty doggone good.
Different. So I think maybe shorter-term deal for him, but somebody who might be willing to it might see him as kind of a missing piece.
He also just feels like it changes the whole attitude of your offense, the whole attitude of your entire NFL team. All right, much more Football Friday coming up. But up next, we'll take you to a high-flying night in Denver, a finals preview. The Celtics' biggest star did not come up big when they needed him most. Are there concerns? Tons of hoops to talk as we continue in a moment on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
We are back on Get Up, bottom of the hour. In case you're just joining us, we had what pretty much all the odds makers, including ESPN Bet, believe was a preview of the NBA Finals last night, Nuggets and Celtics in Boston. Let me show you first one spectacular play. That's Nikola Jokic up and Aaron Gordon throwing it down. Look at DeAndre, loves it. Aaron Gordon, just spectacular there. These two heavyweights would trade punches all night long. Meantime, it would all come down to this. The Nuggets had a 2-point lead late. Watch Jason Tatum wide open in the corner for the lead, and he can't get it to go. He was just 5 of 13 from the floor. And then on the other end, here's the dagger. It's Jokic with the spin. It's Gordon who throws it down. Jokic had a 30-point triple-double, and the Nuggets would win it by a score of 115 to 109. So let's talk about different pieces of this. So Jason Tatum is a brilliant player. We all understand that. He was held under 15 points for just the third time this season. He was 1 of 5 shooting in the fourth quarter. On the season, that's the number. He's under 32% from the field in clutch time. That is 27th out of 28 qualified players. And it brings up sort of a long-standing question about him in the biggest moments. And, oh, we've got some hoops ready to go today. The Wind Man is up early with us, and it's been too long since we have said good morning to Chinne Ogumike. Chinne, let me start with you on that. Is it reasonable for people to question, at this point, Jason Tatum and his ability to rise in the biggest moments when the Celtics need him?
It is to some degree, just because I know a lot of people want him to capitalize on this moment where people feel like he should be in the MVP conversation. But I want to give a little context to those clutch numbers. The Celtics lead the NBA in margin of victory. They win by, on average, around 12 points per game. So in fairness to Jason Tatum, he's just not on the floor because they beat people so bad that he doesn't have to be on the floor in the fourth quarter. But in the biggest moments, this is where all eyes are on him. I know you mentioned his field goals. He only shot the ball 13 times. Jaylen Brown shot the ball 29 times. People kind of want Jason Tatum to be that aggressive best player because they have the best team right now by record in the NBA. And so when you go up against the defending champs, we're looking for those moments where, you know, it can put him over the edge. We just didn't get that. But in the playoffs, we have seen not too long ago him drop 51 in a game 7 that was iconic in a Celtics jersey. So he is capable. I think just this year, the expectations are there for the taking, and it feels like we just haven't seen those. That's by design, by them winning, but it's also by the performance late.
That's right. And there's also a degree, Wendy, and we've talked about it earlier this week, the Celtics have been so good that we're just trying to find Achilles' heels, right? We're trying to figure out, well, what is it that might trip them up? What was your big takeaway from him and them last night?
Well, Jason Tatum himself has said that he's one of the best players, if not the best player in the league. He said it to Malika Andrews in an interview over All-Star Weekend. And so I admire that, and I admire that. And I agree, he's got the talent to get there. He's had a tough week, Greeny. Real tough week, a real tough fourth quarter in Cleveland. Really sort of weak shot attempt at the end of the game there. He does have as many baskets as turnovers. Look, this was in last night's game, this was a full power, high level matchup. Both sides fully healthy. You had Nikola Jokic 100% dedicated and engaged in this game. 30-point triple-double. Jaylen Brown has one of his best regular season games of his career with over 40 points and over 10 rebounds. Porzingis is all into it. Aaron Gordon is all into it. And you see Tatum, and he just wasn't able to deliver. Not just that shot. Of course, you're going to look at that shot and remember that. But the whole game, he was passive. And for a guy who needs to be the leader and can be the leader of a team that wins the title, it's just a tough moment.
There's a lot of pressure on him, and there's a lot of pressure on his team in general. Just how confident do people, let me put it this way, what is at stake for the Celtics here? I want you to hear Charles last night. So this is a TNT game last night, and this is Charles Barkley and what he thinks the Celtics bar is this season.
If they don't win a championship this year, it would be a total gag job. Because they got everything. I mean, you got Brown and Tatum. You got two of the 10 best players in the league, probably. You got a great leader in Jrue Holiday. Porzingis is probably the best guy who's not a number one or two guy on the team in the NBA. And then you can throw Derrick White in there, too. I will be shocked if the Celtics don't win.
What do you think of that, Chiney? Is there that level of pressure on the Celtics? If they don't make it to the finals this year, will there be that level of questions asked?
I think so. They have to make it to the finals. The East, they have so much buffer at the top. I think the next team below them, the Bucks, are like 7 games out of that number one position. So they have the smoothest pathway to make it to the NBA Finals. I would be remiss to say, like, I truly believe the Nuggets are the best team in basketball. We saw what Nikola Jokic is able to do. He can kill you from the outside. He can kill you from the inside. And their supporting cast, it really feels like they are tailored for Jokic and they are tailored to repeat as champions. But if the Celtics don't make it there, now you have some questions, right?
Yeah.
Because you just paid Jaylen Brown. You have Jason Tatum up. Then you also have put these pieces together where one thing I loved last night, we saw a little bit of championship Jrue Holiday late. Some tough buckets from three. Porzingis has been a great addition. So you've seen a team that the Celtics have that has gotten better. But we all know in Boston, the expectation is to bring a championship. It's just hard because they're probably going to go up against the Nuggets. So I feel like they have to make the finals. If they don't win it all, there'll be even bigger questions looming for the future based on the duo moving forward.
Yeah, they are 7.5 games up on Milwaukee right now in the East. Wendy, quickly, because I have a lot of other things I want to get to. But what is that? What are we looking at? Are we looking at a situation where if they get bounced in the East somewhere along the line, is it the coach? Is it the dynamic duo that gets split up? Like, what are the consequences of Boston falling short?
I would not be shocked if they don't win it because I've spent so much time in Massachusetts the last couple of years in the playoffs. I've had to file taxes there. And I've seen the Celtics have great opportunities and not be able to execute them. But I do think this is a 2-year window. I don't think it's all in on this year. I think that they will be able to bring this whole team back next year. But after that, it gets complicated. So I think this year or next, and I'm not going to say it's all on them this year because I have too much respect for Denver, as we saw last night.
I've seen your W-2, so yes, you're 100% right. You had to do that for sure. Okay.
I got another month to file, by the way.
But before we get to anything else, I want to get to a few. Chiney, can you just put into words what Anthony Edwards did on this final play last night? Again, is he going to go up and get that block? Again, his team is up by 2. There's 1 second left in the game. So this literally wins the game. Chiney, how do you describe it?
Pogo sticks. Trampoline, out of his mind. This is a statement. This is a future face of the NBA. He is showing you how bad he wants it. Afterward, you can see the energy his teammates have. This is a team that really bounced back off after some tough news from Kat. My gosh, respect to that young man.
That's the play of the NBA year, right? I mean, it is the play of the NBA season, and it might be the best defensive play I've ever seen. If it's not, it's definitely in the conversation. Meanwhile, that starts the Wendy watch, and Chiney took us right there, Wendy. The news on Kat, obviously enormously important for a Minnesota team having a great season. What is the story?
Yeah, so he's going to have surgery on his torn meniscus in his left knee early next week. The good news is that this looks like a procedure that he's going to be able to come back from in the short time frame, which means his season is not over. Now, the Wolves have the advantage that the playoffs don't start until late April this year. He's going to be reevaluated in a month. I think he's got a good chance, if there's no setbacks, to come back in the playoffs. Now, we had a huge thing happen in the NBA over the last few days, but you probably haven't heard about it. Luka Doncic has four consecutive games of 35 points in a triple-double. That's never happened before in history. And the reason you haven't heard about it is that the Mavericks have been awful. They've been the worst defensive team in the league since the All-Star break until last night when they overcame a 15-point deficit against the Heat. They'd lost six games in a row. But Luka has been absolutely red hot trying to keep this Mavericks team out of the play-in. And right now, it hasn't been going that great. Also, we've got LeBron James dealing with that ankle injury that he was left the game early with a couple of nights ago. He is on the injury report as questionable for tonight's game against the Bucks. Greeny, he has been on the injury report as questionable with the left ankle tendonitis for weeks now and probably will be for the rest of the season. This is a management injury. He will continue to get treatment. I do not expect him to miss time, especially not in back-to-back situations. And the Lakers only have two more of those the rest of the season, and they can't afford to have him out anyway, and I don't think you'll see him miss time if he doesn't have a setback.
No, it's an ESPN game tonight. It should be LeBron against Giannis, and we hope that we see that. But our buddy Kendrick Perkins has this to say about LeBron's health and the Lakers in general.
The reality is that the Lakers are done. And I'm very, very concerned about LeBron James when it comes to his health. This man is 39 years old, right? And I'm talking about concern for his physical health and his mental health at this point.
Bottom line is the Lakers are done. That does not sit well with Damian Woody, by the way, who is the lead Laker fan on the Get Upset. But let me start. Chiney, is that right? I mean, is Perk right? Are the Lakers done?
Respectfully to my big bro here on NBA Today, the Lakers are, you know, not done. It's hard to ever bet against LeBron James. And by design of the NBA right now, we've seen teams go from the play-in, Miami Heat, to the NBA Finals. We've seen teams, Los Angeles Lakers, go from the play-in to the Western Conference Finals. Now, you are putting a lot of workload on that man right there. Year 21, age 39. That is true. But one thing that I noticed was in this battle for LA, and Perk was right there with me watching. In this battle, we watched all these heroics from LeBron James. Ever since that moment, it seems like the Lakers have found their shot. They're shooting around, about 53% from the field and 42% from three ever since that huge moment, which includes not too long after LeBron touching 40,000. They're playing inspired basketball. Now, the loss of the Kings doesn't help you, but they have been decent in the last 11 games, and now you have a team that feels like, okay, they're playing more confidently. So I will not say it's over. I think the championship expectations are much harder in a stacked West, but you never bet against LeBron James knowing what we saw last year.
Yeah, Wendy, we're living in a world where right now, if the season ended today, LeBron would be in the play-in, Steph would be in the play-in, Luka Doncic would be in the play-in. Can the Lakers resurrect themselves in the way that Chiney just pointed out they did a year ago?
They are playing better basketball, but the difference between last year and this year is that last year they were walking around with a record that had them in ninth place, but they weren't a ninth place team because they had made those trades at midseason. They were actually better than that. This year, this is who they are. And, you know, Anthony Davis has been healthy just about for the whole season. Even though LeBron has missed a few games dealing with this ankle, he's been there most of the season, and they're still a 10th place team. And frankly, the West is a lot harder. I would never rule them out with LeBron. He's one of the great underdog players in his career. He's one of the great single game elimination players in his career, and they're looking at having to win two play-in games. And they were 3-1 this season against the Thunder, who could very well be the one seed that they might play in the first round. So I wouldn't rule them out, but they're in 10th place for a reason. It doesn't come with an asterisk. They're there because that's what they've earned, and they're going to have to deal with that as they try to have an uphill battle coming in.
Big fella.
Yeah, I think Wendy hit the point that I was going to make. Last year, with all the moves that they made, they were still kind of gelling as a team. This year, they are who they are. And this is with Anthony Davis being really healthy this whole season. And now you look at, do I think the Lakers can beat a Los Angeles Clippers team in a seven-game series? No. Do I think they can beat the Denver Nuggets in a seven-game series? No. The Western Conference is stacked. I love my Lakers. It's just hard for me to see how they navigate through that conference.
Only thing I'll keep pointing out is if Karl Anthony Towns isn't able to come back for the playoffs. I know the reports are that they hope he will, but that can't be guaranteed. All of a sudden, you wind up getting in there as the eighth seed, and Minnesota is the one seed, but suddenly they're playing without their best player, their second best player. Weird things tend to happen sometimes, and I wouldn't put it past them. All right, Chinee, it is such a delight to have you back. We'll see you soon. Wendy, thank you. Coming up here, it's the one-year anniversary of the trade that changed everything. Is Chicago ready for the remix today? We'll answer that question next.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Back on Get Up, the next game is called Fact or Fiction, 3 days to free agency. Here we go. Graziano, if I said the Chiefs cannot three-peat without Chris Jones, is that fact or fiction?
I gotta say fiction because I can't put anything past Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, but it would be, I think this would be a tougher loss for them than even, say, Tyreek Hill was a couple of years ago. I don't think he's a replaceable player on their defense.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's right. I think he was the second most important player on their team after Patrick Mahomes in their championship run this year. Harry, the Giants, if I said they should give Daniel Jones one more year as their starter, is that fact or fiction?
I'm going to go fiction, Greeny, but they don't have a choice because they're on the hook for $35 million guaranteed that they're owed to Daniel Jones. But I don't think they should.
But they probably have no choice. Yeah, we'll see if they bring in someone to compete with him. We'll see when he's healthy enough to start working. Meanwhile, D. Wood, if I said Justin Fields could lead a team to the playoffs next season as their starter, is that fact or fiction?
I think it's fact. I think you put him in. Listen, as much as we talk about, you know, the fact that he needs to develop more, I think you get him in the right situation, coaching. I definitely think that Justin Fields has the talent to lead a team to the postseason. Hell, we saw Joe Flacco lead with Cleveland Browns
right
into the postseason last year. So I think Justin Fields could do something similar.
So, Dan, you came back from the world's biggest social convention that the world of football has, which is the Combine last week, where everyone gets together, and now everyone retreats to their, separate corners, and they figure out what they're going to do next. What is your sense of where everything stands with Fields?
I think the Bears did not find the market that they hoped they would for a Justin Fields trade, so I think where they have kind of landed is, all right, let's see what happens with the rest of the quarterback market. Let's see what happens with Kirk Cousins, with Baker Mayfield, maybe with Russell Wilson, and then we'll reassess. Maybe the market will change. Maybe somebody will be more willing to pay our price in a Justin Fields trade. And if not, then we have to decide what to do. But it seemed to me, Ryan Pohl said they wanted to get it done by the start of free agency, which, as we know, is early next week. That doesn't mean he has to. If the deal's not there, he'll be deliberate and he will wait. But so far, it doesn't sound like they have found what they were hoping they would find.
So I'm just trying to connect dots here. So I feel like the world is putting Kirk Cousins in Atlanta. Let's just live in a world where that happens. If you're saying they're waiting out these other things. Mm-hmm. And then Baker Mayfield, it feels likely he's going to go back to Tampa, right?
Likely, but it hadn't happened yet.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But, I mean, Mike Evans re-signed there. All the breadcrumbs kind of point in that direction. Russell Wilson is the big X factor. Maybe Pittsburgh, maybe there are other possibilities out there. Raiders. So then what? So then who would be out there saying, okay, who are the Bears waiting to not get someone? Because there are six quarterbacks in this draft that people are going to take in the first two rounds.
Let's say New England Patriots, right, sitting there with the third pick. Do they trade back and get more picks? And maybe then Justin Fields makes sense for them. Do they take a quarterback either at three or in that trade back that they don't want to play right away, right? And then you bring in a guy who's, and not that Fields is your classic bridge guy, but you know, he could be if you want him to be. So, I mean, there's one. I mean, I you know, the Vikings, would you trade him in the division?
Risky.
I kind of feel like no, right? So if Cousins leaves, that probably doesn't add a suitor. It's
Harry, tricky. Help us. I'm trying to find the, I mean, if you watch the show, you know I love Justin Fields. You tell me, where can he go? Yeah. What will make sense for him where he can thrive? What's a good deal that could work for both teams?
I think what we've seen from Justin Fields, especially late last year, he really started to hit a stride, right? And you look at his old offensive coordinator, Luke Getsy, who's now the OC with the Las Vegas Raiders. That's a potential spot. You look at Atlanta, if they're not able to get a Kirk Cousins, or if they decide they don't want to draft one at number eight, then that's a possibility, the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think what we're running into right now, though, I think a lot of these teams understand that the Chicago Bears are in a unique situation where if they're drafting a quarterback number one overall, they have to get rid of the other quarterback, which is Justin Fields. So they're trying to rob Peter and pay Paul. They're trying to get pennies on the dollar.
The Luke Getsy of it all in Vegas, mm-hmm. like the fact that they were together once, the only thing I can say is the Luke Getsy Justin Fields marriage worked so well in Chicago that one of them got fired and the other one's getting traded out of there. So it's hard to imagine a team saying, oh, let's recreate that magic.
But he did advance. I mean, Fields is a better player than he was 2 years ago when he put him with Getsy. So I don't personally know like how Luke Getsy feels about Justin Fields. It could be that he wants to keep working on him. It could be that he doesn't. But it's an interesting idea. They're going to need somebody.
I'm being told to look at Adam Schefter's Twitter, so let me get to that as quickly
news?
As I can. Well, we're behind it. Which thing am I looking at here? Russell is visiting the Steelers. That Russell Wilson is visiting the Steelers, I'm being told, via Adam Schefter. What do you think?
Well, I mean, that's what we've been talking about, right? With Russell Wilson. We've been on this show, it seemed like, for I don't know how long, saying that Pittsburgh Steelers could obviously be a possibility. We know the financial, you know, aspect of it makes sense because the Denver Broncos is paying all that money. We know that the Pittsburgh Steelers probably wanted to bring competition in for Kenny Pickett. And so, listen, I don't know Russell Wilson's market. Obviously, this is the beginning of it with the Pittsburgh Steelers.
What do you think, Dan?
Man, I'm not seeing it on Schefter.
No, it's not on his Twitter yet. I'm sorry. Okay. But it is an email from the news desk.
Ah, I see.
Adam Schefter, per sources, that Russell Wilson is.
I trust that a lot more than I trust Twitter. Look, I think it makes some sense for them to find out. Their situation is one where they could use better quarterback play than they got last year. Do they want to give up on Kenny Pickett? Is the role that they're bringing, if they bring in Russell Wilson, is that role one that he will like or want? These are questions that have to be answered in this kind of meeting.
Yeah. And maybe they get answered more quickly. Again, while technically any deal he makes isn't official until sometime later, he can basically go wherever he wants.
Hasn't been
right?
cut yet officially, but they've given him permission to, and officially he'll be released next, Wednesday?
So it's a distinction without a difference. Yes, I mean, he's a free agent for all intents and purposes now, meeting with the Steelers. Let's see if that's where it goes. We've got more to do, and then First Take will pick it up and run with it. Was last night's performance one that will hurt Jason Tatum's MVP chances? Can Anthony Edwards keep Minnesota in the championship hunt? Stephen A., Chinay, Windy, and more. Top of the hour.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What a lineup tomorrow. Second game of our ABC NHL doubleheader is Bruins-Penguins. We got Carolina Duke. We got Celtics and Suns. We got UFC 299 on ESPN Plus pay-per-view. Just set aside your whole day and watch sports with us.
Come on, people. Let's do this thing.
I
feel like I'm losing my mind.
Ryan Clark said he's like a Maserati. He's like a Ferrari.
You do realize that Ryan Clark is from Louisiana.
I'm not real familiar with Baton Rouge.
You can take the girl out of Brooklyn, but I don't know about the rest of it.
Boop, and let's just restart.
He was hurt because he was getting sacked. Almost choked.
There's nothing I love more than an exasperated Ryan Clark. January of 1996, where was Harry Douglas?
Man, Harry was a hoop star, baby. I was Euro-stepping, doing my little thing, greedy behind the back.
Yeah, me too.
Look at leg.
They put his face on my body there. Let's just go back to Graziano's face for a moment. Look at Dee's face. It's been this kind of day here. Joey Chestnut ate 39 pierogies in 2 minutes. If there was ever such a competition I was going to get involved with, it might have involved Grey Goose.
And I just want to know if there's going to be a keg at the press conference.
Dan Graziano is genuinely great at these. Dan Orlovsky, with all due respect, is terrible at them.
Unitas.
That's correct.
Welcome, it is.
I don't think you get it if it's not for Orlovsky. Those are just words I never thought I'd hear myself speak. That was 14-5. You got him again today, 15-5.
You are crushing him, Bo.
Russell Wilson is headed to Pittsburgh. Is he going to get a deal there? We're going to find out. First Take starts now. Come on,
get up. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.